would like to ask you if you would like to read along with me today to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'd like to read a few verses beginning with the first verse. First Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthians that what he had preached unto them was the gospel. And he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I want to conclude my reading there with those verses. And if you look, I want to speak for a little while today about something that we believe as a church, that Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church believes. And if you look on the statement of faith that is on the wall over here by where our deacons are sitting, in the 14th article of that, it speaks about baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we believe as a church that the Lord left the church with two ordinances, just two. No more, just two ordinances. And that those ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to speak mainly today about the one that we have come here to observe, and that being the Lord's Supper. But I will say this, that no one is qualified to partake of the Lord's Supper until they have been scripturally baptized. And so they do work together in that way. But I don't know if you have ever really given that much thought to that. Perhaps most everyone has. Perhaps there are some that haven't. Perhaps you have just taken that and accepted that as a believed truth. That we do believe that there are two ordinances without really thinking a great deal about why it is that you believe that. And I think it's important for us to not only say that we believe something as a church or even as an individual. Now, as I said, that's what Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church believes. That's one of the doctrinal beliefs of this church, and to the best of my knowledge, has been ever since her organization, that the Lord gave the church two ordinances. But I also believe that individually. I believe that the church is right. I believe that's exactly what the scriptures teach, and that we are right on target with that as a church. And so I think it's important for us to not only perhaps agree with something and say, yes, I believe that, I embrace that, the same as the other members of the church do, but I think it's important for us to have an understanding of why that we believe that. And so I want you to, again, to keep in mind what the Apostle Paul said here to his writing to the church of Corinth, that were according to the Scriptures. Now, if you go on and you read a little bit further in that 15th chapter there of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that he speaks about, he talks about how that he was seen of Cephas, and then he was seen of the 12, and he was seen above 500 brethren. And there are things that he continues to say concerning the Lord's resurrection. But there are three things that he makes mention of here that he had delivered unto them according to the Scriptures. And so the scriptural facts of the gospel were the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, that's what I received, and that's what I delivered unto you. Now, there are those that believe that there were more than two ordinances that the Lord gave his church. There are those that some believe that there is an ordinance of foot washing that the Lord gave to the church. But personally, I don't believe that's true. I believe the Lord gave the church two ordinances to keep. And the reason, one of the strongest reasons that I believe that is that there are no ordinances beyond those two that are necessary to show what the Lord designed them to show. Because if you think about the ordinances that we observe and the way that they are carried out, they give us a picture, or they give us a symbol of the gospel. They are complete in that way. They show the death, burial, and the resurrection. Now, baptism, when an individual is baptized, then we take that person and we bury them in water. And when they are brought up out of the water, the Bible talks about in the 6th chapter of Romans how that baptism shows what it's an outward showing, an outward expression of what has taken place to that person inside. It's an outward showing of what has already happened inside. So in baptism, we are buried, showing that we have put off the old man and that we are raised again to show that we are going to walk in newness of life. And so baptism is symbolic of the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look in the 6th chapter of Romans, Paul says, beginning with verse 3, he said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So within these two ordinances, and we can say from this that they are gospel ordinances. And within these two ordinances, everything that the Lord, and only he could have designed such a thing, but everything that he intended to show in these ordinances is shown in those two ordinances. And so there's really no need for any others, is there? And so we can see all of those things in that. Now today, I'm not here to speak about baptism. I did want to share those few things with you today concerning that. But I'm here to speak about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And the service that we have come here to partake in today is indeed a memorial service. Now we, and I'll share some scripture here in a little while perhaps, but you know, we are accustomed to a memorial service when someone that we know and love passes from this life, the family will hold a memorial service. Sometimes we call it a funeral service, but we will, families will hold a memorial service for that person. And whenever that takes place, we come together, generally the person's body that they've left behind is there, and we come together and we show our respects, we pay our last respects, and we say farewell to that person, and then they are buried, and we don't hold any subsequent memorial services for them. We hold that that one-time memorial service for that person. But this is a memorial service that the Lord instructed His church to hold perpetually, that there was to be continuity to it, that from time to time throughout the years until He comes again, that the church is to hold this memorial service. The Bible didn't specify to us how often that we are to do it. Here at Fairview Memorial, the church has chosen to observe this ordinance generally twice a year, and that's fine because the Bible didn't tell us exactly how often that we were to do that. But what it does tell us is that what it is to be about every time that we do this. And to me, today is a very special service. We are observing something today that the Lord left with His church, that we would remember Him. And that's exactly what the scriptures tell us that this is about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to read some scripture to you concerning what the Apostle Paul wrote about the Lord's Supper. Beginning with verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me." And so we are told here by the Apostle Paul that Jesus, when He instituted this, that He told His disciples that whenever they were to eat this bread, that they were to do that in remembrance of Him. That when they drank the fruit of the vine, that they were to do that in remembrance of Him. And in the 26th verse, He tells them what would be accomplished by them doing that. He said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Now, you know, none of us today, none of us that have been born again by the Spirit of God today are looking at Jesus as if He is dead. We know that He is alive. We know that He has risen from the dead. We know that He lives within us, and we know that we serve a living, risen Savior. But today in this ordinance, and when the Lord left this ordinance for the church, He wanted His church, His churches, every time that they observe this to be focused on the aspect of his death. And so that's what we're doing. And the Bible doesn't say that the observance of the Lord's Supper is a symbolism of his resurrection. It says that by doing the Lord's Supper that we show his death until he comes. Jesus wanted us to remember his death. Now, you know, sometimes, and you have probably heard this, sometimes when a person realizes that they are going to die, maybe they've been ill with something for a number of years, and they're coming to the point where they're beginning to realize that this is going to most likely overtake them and they're going to die. Sometimes they will tell those that they're leaving behind, I don't want you to think about that. You just focus on the good times we've had, and you forget about that, and you don't think about that, and we'll see each other again one of these days. But the Lord left an ordinance for his church that we would never forget his death. That we would always remember what he did for us. And so the Lord's Supper is, you know, the scriptures are so specific to us in what this is about, because even as the Lord said that we are to do this in remembrance of him, but he didn't even say you are to observe this to remember that I was here. I'm not leaving you this ordinance so you can remember how that I walked the shores of Galilee and called the disciples. He even gave us the specifics of what we are to remember in this, and that is his death. You know, if we take this ordinance today, if we observe this ordinance and we don't remember the Lord's death, then we're not doing it according to the scriptures. We're not focused on what it was that he left us to remember. And so we are to, as we partake of the broken bread, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we are to remember what Jesus did on the cross. This is about the cross of Calvary today. This is about his death. This is about his sufferings. Brother Durant, in his Sunday school lesson today, was teaching his class and studying with his class about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, about how that Isaiah prophesied that Jesus went through such a physical ordeal that his appearance was more marred than anybody's had ever been. I don't think that we've even yet imagined, even from what Isaiah told us in that prophecy of how the Lord would appear physically after that he had been scourged and after he had been beaten and all these things had happened to him, even with what the Bible tells us, I don't think we really understand the physical suffering that the Lord went through. I seriously doubt that we have a true concept of what it really was. We've heard many people say, and I believe that certainly they're right, that by the time they crucified Jesus, that they had abused his body so bad that he was just unrecognizable. And I'm sure that that's true. And I don't know that any other man could have made it through what he did. But God had a purpose for him. God had a purpose for that. The Bible says that in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It said he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, It was not something that men had done to him, where they had overpowered him, where they had taken him by surprise, where they had done something to him and murdered him against his will. When he was hanging on the cross, beaten and bloodied, he was fulfilling exactly what he came here to do. He came here for that purpose. He came here to give his life as a ransom for our sins. And so we are to do this every time that we do it. As often as we do it, the Bible says that we are to do this in remembrance of Jesus. In remembrance of what he did for us. In remembrance of how he suffered. And I know that there are ways that the Lord suffered that were greater even perhaps than his physical suffering. Amen. How that he suffered such great spiritual sufferings. And the Lord, we find him on one occasion making the statement, "Now is my soul troubled." I mean, he had a great inward battle as well. He had great emotional pain and spiritual pain. But, you know, I believe that it appears to me that the Lord left the ordinance of the Lord's Supper with his church that we might never forget the physical suffering that he went through in order for us to be saved. I could never begin today to tell you the pain that he must have felt. I mean, we know what physical pain feels like. We've had it. We know how much it can hurt to have some trauma to your body. We know what that's like, but I'm sure that he suffered more pain than anybody has ever suffered. And all of that was for us. It was all for us. He went through all of that for us so that he suffered so that we wouldn't have to. You know, the death on the cross, that was what we were worthy of. What did the one thief say to the other thief when the one thief was mocking Jesus, and he was saying, "Well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself? Why don't you save us?" He was mocking the Lord. He didn't believe in him. And the other thief said, "Do you not fear God, seeing that we're in the same condemnation?" He said, "We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss, has done nothing wrong." And so the cross is what we deserved. But the Lord took it. He took it. He took all of that upon himself in order for us to be saved. And so I wanted to remind everybody here, I wanted to remind the church today at Fairview Memorial that as often as we eat this bread and as often as we drink this fruit of the vine, that we show his death until he comes. And he's coming for us. And when he comes, may he find that we have been faithful. We have been faithful in continuing. You know, listen, there have been people that have passed through the scenes of time that you and I never knew. They lived and died long before we ever lived, that they did this same thing that we're doing here today. We're not doing anything new. We're doing what the Lord's church has been doing ever since he instituted the ordinance. The very simple ordinances that he left for our church. What do we need to carry them out? What are the elements that are really needed? We need the bread. We need the fruit of the vine. In baptism, we need enough water to bury a person in. The elements are very simple, aren't they? He left us with very simplistic ordinances, but they show such a great thing. Today, as we ask the deacons to prepare the table, we get ready to observe the ordinance. Every time that we do this, we show his death, until he comes. Thank you for your attention.